Dear friends of the Colby Center, glory to Jesus Christ. I am writing this newsletter on July 5th, the 49th anniversary of the burial of the great Ukrainian Catholic Blessed Archbishop Vasil Velichkovsky in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, in 1973. I am recalling what we wrote about Blessed Vasil in a previous newsletter now, because part of his white martyrdom was to be subjected to forced injections with drugs intended to break down his resistance to interrogation, so that he would betray the members of his underground flock to his communist captors. We urgently need to invoke Blessed Vasil now, as special intercessor against the forced injection of children with experimental COVID shots, here in the United States and in other countries around the world. COVID shots for children, an abominable abuse of science and medicine. According to an article on the Children's Health Defense website, the rate of COVID-19-associated hospitalization among children aged 5 to 11 is just 0.0008%. In real-world terms, that's so close to zero, you basically cannot lower it any further. Despite that, the Vaccine Advisory Panel, the Vaccines and Regulated Biological Products Advisory Committee of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on June 15th unanimously approved granting emergency use authorization to Pfizer's and Moderna's COVID shots for infants and young children. Pfizer's EUA is for a three-dose regimen, 3 microgram shots, for children 6 months to 5 years old. Moderna's EUA is for a two-dose regimen, 25 microgram shots, for children 6 months to 6 years. In granting this EUA, the FDA again ignored injury and death data and swept medical ethics aside. The drug companies need this last remaining age group to be included over the EUA, because once the emergency is finally declared over, the next phase of liability shielding requires that the shots receive approval by the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Once the vaccine is on the childhood vaccination schedule, the vaccine makers are permanently shielded from liability for injuries and deaths that occur in any age group, including adults. This insanity could only be tolerated in an atmosphere of collective amnesia in regard to the original divine design of the human body and the perversion of medicine's vocation from one of drawing upon the divine design of the human body and mind to achieve healing of disease or injury, to one which sees the human body as the result of a random process of material evolution, and which arrogantly seeks to improve upon evolution's handiwork by modifying the human body with gene-altering vaccines. What makes the whole situation even more diabolical is the way that officials in government agencies charged with protecting public health have manipulated the statistics from vaccine trials with children to conceal the harm that the experimental COVID shots have inflicted upon them. According to a July 1, 2022 article by the Free Press International News Service, new evidence indicates that the FDA and CDC officials manipulated statistics to hide adverse reactions in order to make the COVID vaccine falsely appear safe for children. "It is the most chilling thing I've ever read," reports Toby Rogers, PhD, adding, "It is absolutely sinister." Dr. Rogers, who formerly worked under Labor Secretary Rob Reich, studies regulatory corruption connected to Big Pharma. A study out of France showing a 44 times increased incidence of myocarditis following the Moderna mRNA vaccine raised new questions this week about the data behind the FDA's emergency use authorization for the vaccine in children as young as 6 months. Prior to this authorization, which took place on June 17th, the Moderna mRNA shot had been held up for a year because multiple earlier international studies reported disqualifying increases in myocarditis, particularly among young boys. In a Substack article and a subsequent live-streamed roundtable, Rogers explains the statistical manipulation that the FDA and CDC employed to make a dangerous medical product with no benefit for children appear safe and effective. His work is featured regularly at Children's Health Defense. I was curious to see how the FDA would attempt to get around this. And it's all right there on page 19 and 20, he recounts, referring to the 190-page risk-benefit document Moderna delivered to the FDA only 2 business days before the June 14 through 15 authorization meeting. What Rogers found shocked him. Remember, the Moderna shots produced no reductions in severe outcomes because the risk of COVID-19 in this age group is infinitesimally small. See studies here, 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 and here, Rogers writes. By the summer and fall of 2021, there were already multiple studies out of the UK, Canada, and Nordic countries showing between 2 times to 7 times increase in the risk of myocarditis from the Moderna shot. By May of 2022, additional studies out of Italy, France, Denmark, and other Nordic countries found between a 3 times to 7 times increased risk. Even the CDC's own study of the Vaccine Safety Data Link found a 2 times higher risk. All told, the FDA cited 26 studies demonstrating these heightened levels of risk. Yet remarkably, the FDA concluded not only was the increased risk not the 200% to 700% these studies reported, but that it was only 7% to 50%, which FDA officials also then deemed not statistically significant. Even more remarkably, Rogers discovered that it was not Moderna employees who manipulated the data, but the FDA and CDC officials who did so on behalf of Moderna. The FDA, CDC, and Kaiser Permanente put their fixers on the case, Rogers writes. It was the same fixers who they always use, Tan Shimabukuro and John Tsu, whose entire job is making vaccine safety signals disappear. Those guys are absolutely going to hell. The FDA's Matthew Oster, MD, and Kaiser Permanente's Nicola Klein, MD, PhD, were also involved, Roger added, speaking by phone with WorldTribune.com. Statistical fixers massage data to eliminate safety signals by eliminating participants with problematic outcomes for trivial reasons, clustering participants in ways that obscure statistically significant measures, and other methods. For example, Rogers notes that, to prove efficacy, Moderna switched from measuring beneficial health outcomes, which were non-existent, to measuring antibodies. But even then, Moderna threw out about 90% of the samples and only looked at the blood work of about 300 kids in each age group. No explanation was given for the criteria they used to exclude 90% of the sample, Rogers notes. How they rigged the data to license a product they know will cause myocarditis in kids, it's sinister, Rogers says. Tan Shimabukuro, MD, Deputy Director of the Immunization Safety Office at the CDC, may by now be familiar with the World Tribune readers as one of 2 individuals who in a joint CDC-FDA meeting in October of 2020 appears to have consciously concealed extensive lists of anticipated adverse reactions to the COVID vaccines, which have since been widely reported by chronic sufferers. If the myocarditis rigging is chilling, the use of placebos is perhaps even more so. The placebo group of 2 to 5-year-olds experienced an extraordinarily high incidence of adverse reactions to the placebo, 35% compared with 40% in the vaccine group, a difference which could then be claimed insignificant. Healthy young children do not have a 35% adverse reaction to saline. The implication is that Moderna researchers knowingly administered dangerous toxins as a placebo in order to induce adverse reactions numerous enough to be approximate the number resulting from the shot. The dirty little secret of the vaccine program is that manufacturers almost always use rigged placebos to create an artificially high background rate to hide adverse events, Rogers explains. He is not alone in this point of view. The brilliant quant Jessica Rose made a similar observation, Rogers notes, in her analysis of the FDA risk-benefit document. I still have a very strong suspicion that these placebos are not saline, Rose comments. She believes the placebo may have contained lipid nanoparticles, which are the delivery vehicle that Moderna uses to get mRNA into the cell, and may have pathological qualities, Rogers explains. The FDA has officially abandoned science altogether, Rogers said in an interview with Steve Bannon. By a vote of 19-2, they approved a covalent COVID-19 shot with the Wuhan strain and the Omicron variant. This is a strange thing to approve. The Wuhan strain is no longer in circulation. They are vaccinating against a strain that no longer exists. And the Omicron variant that they are going to put into these shots is Omicron version BA.4 and BA.5. There is no efficacy data whatsoever on vaccine efficacy against Omicron BA.4 and BA.5. Every time that I think I'm too cynical, it turns out that I'm not cynical enough, Rogers reflected with emotion. This is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. This is a violation of the Declaration of Helsinki. This is a violation of the Hippocratic Oath. If and when Republicans retake control of Congress this fall, there must be hearings. There must be arrests, and there must be prosecutions, Rogers told Bannon. With these reports in mind, we have a duty to warn parents against these dangerous injections and against the government agencies that callously and irresponsibly promote them, while we invoke the intercession of Blessed Vasil Velichkovsky on behalf of innocent children throughout the world, whose very lives are threatened by this wholesale perversion of science and medicine. Please also contact your government representatives, give them the essential information in this newsletter, and demand that they fight this abuse of innocent children with all their strength. Through the prayer of the Mother of God, of Saint Joseph, of Blessed Vasil Velichkovsky, and of all the holy angels and saints, may God deliver us from every abuse of sound science and medicine, and restore a right understanding and treatment of the human person. Yours in Christ through the Holy Theotokos, in union with Saint Joseph. Hugh Owen. P.S. Two of our readers pointed out an error in the last Colby newsletter. I had written that the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins was Welsh, but although Hopkins is a common surname in Wales, and Hopkins lived in Wales for a time and learned Welsh, he was definitely born in England of English parents. My thanks to our readers for the correction. P.P.S. Thanks to the hard work of our friend Anne Kraft, we can now offer the proceedings of our historic 2002 Rome Symposium as a PDF. This was the first international Catholic symposium held in Rome since Vatican II to uphold and defend the traditional doctrine of creation from the perspective of theology, philosophy, and natural science.